In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today. Yesterday we saw in Luke 10 that the Lord appointed another 72 to go out and to heal the sick and proclaim the word of God. And I told you that they were making ready for Jesus. In other words, they were preparing the path for Jesus to preach. Now, I want to talk about the saint. I couldn't remember his name yesterday. Is Saint Vincent Ferrer. Vincent Ferrer had before him the penitents who would do fasting and prayer, and they would go before him to prepare the way for the preacher. Let me tell you, he had hundreds of thousands of miracles. As a matter of fact, once he got to the people, he said, "I'm not going to preach, I'm only going to do miracles." And he knew it was Jesus doing the miracles. I tell you, we need Vincent Ferrer in the United States, people like him that believe, Dominicans that believe, that have the power of God. We need that in the United States of America. Let me also tell you that it would be a good thing for you to Google St. Vincent Ferrer, F-E-R-R-A, St. Vincent Ferrer, and you learn about him yourself. I'm looking now at the 21st chapter, 21st verse of Luke 10. "In the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit," hallelujah, "and said, I confess to thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to the little ones." And it's still that way now. He reveals himself to the little ones, the little of faith, the people that the world would count as foolish. Jesus rejoices that these little ones, these disciples that left everything to follow him, that he revealed to them through the Holy Spirit the kingdom of God. And it's still that way now, because you know what? If you have everything, you don't want another kingdom. You have your own kingdom. That's what makes me fearful, you know. I'm thinking that, you know, if I get so much on the radio, I have my own kingdom. No, I don't need another kingdom. I need the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have not experienced that yet, but that is what Jesus said to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm reading now the 23rd verse, and turning to his disciples, that's you and me, he says, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see," that we see the body of Christ at Mass. We hear the word of God from the mouth of Jesus. Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. For I say to you, there were many prophets and kings, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, that desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. I tell you, blessed are your eyes that you see the Eucharist, that you see Jesus Christ in the form of bread. Blessed are your ears that the gospel is being told to you. Blessed are you who have many, many things to see and to hear. And you know what? You are the little ones. You are the Anawim. You are the ones that need Jesus, just like me. I am one of the Anawim, one of the poor and needy, and only Jesus can make up for my being Anawim. You see, the Anawim have only one, and they only have God. They are the poor and needy. We see the Anawim in Luke's gospel when the infancy narratives, Mary, Anawim, a poor and lowly one, Joseph, an Anawim, a poor and lowly one, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Anawim, poor and lowly ones, Simeon and Anna in the temple, the Anawim, poor and lowly ones. I tell you, the Anawim, the poor and the lowly, know that their only hope is in the Lord. their only hope is in the Lord. So blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. Maybe you've never considered that, but you hear the word of God. You see the blessed sacrament. My Lord, we have what the prophets did not have. We have what King David did not have, the very presence of Jesus Christ, and that he dwells within us by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the 25th verse, and behold, a certain lawyer, we're going to be trouble now, stood up tempting Jesus, saying, Master, what must I do to possess eternal life? Remember, he's testing Jesus. Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole strength, with your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered right. This you do, and you shall live. But willing to justify himself. When we try to justify ourselves in the presence of God, we'll always lose. Willing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus answered him, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Oh, yes, that's the lowest part of the earth. From Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest went down the same way, and seeing the broken man, passed by. In like manner, there was a Levite, another Levite. When he was near the place, he saw him and passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near to him, and seeing him, he was moved with compassion. And going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, take care of this man. Whatsoever you shall spend over and above, I at my return will repay you. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed mercy to him. He wouldn't even say the name of Samaritan. Let me tell you about the Good Samaritan. I'm going to tell you that you cannot be a good Samaritan unless you are broken and unless you're like the man on the street that needs deliverance and help from Jesus. You cannot help people unless you know your own brokenness. I remember at the seminary, I preached as a deacon, and it was the story of the Good Samaritan that I talked about. And I said, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, we do this little stuff and that we're good Samaritans. I said, but you see, you cannot be a good Samaritan unless you're the man on the street. You cannot be a good Samaritan unless you know your own brokenness and Jesus has come to you. You cannot be a good Samaritan and just be an ordinary person. You have to know your own fallibility, your own brokenness, your own neediness, and Jesus is the only one that can meet it. Do you know that, my friends? Do you know your neediness? Do you know your brokenness? Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it? You are one of the Anoim, and your only hope is in Jesus. So we call upon the name of Jesus to come to us, to come to us, Lord. Help us to be good Samaritans, because we're broken, and we're needy, and we're poor, just like the Good Samaritan. He knew what it was to be broken, needy, and poor. And he had compassion with the man on the street. Compassion. He could identify with. You see, because if you're going to help someone and you think you're better than them, you become proud and arrogant. No one is better than anybody else. The ones that are better are the ones that are in heaven already. They're better because they've finished the race. But the rest of us are needy and poor and broken. And we can help other needy and poor and broken people because we are there. You know, it's kind of sad that the Word of God says that the man wanted to justify himself. My Lord, whenever we try to justify ourselves, we always lose. Jesus is the Lord. He's in control. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain town. This is Jesus again. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. This is at Bethany. And she had a sister called Mary, who sitting also at the Lord's feet, heard his word. But Martha was busy about much serving, who stood and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Speak to her, therefore, that she help me. And the Lord answered, said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful of art and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I want to talk about Martha, because Martha's no slouch. Martha is a beautiful woman. She's not only preparing the food for Jesus, but I tell you, before the resuscitation of Lazarus, Martha said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. My Lord, she believed. She said the same thing that Simon Peter said. And Jesus said, blessed are the ones, that the one that revealed this is my heavenly Father. This is Martha. Martha's no slouch. She is a woman of God. At this time, she just has a different personality than Mary. Even at the time when Lazarus was dead, who runs out to Jesus first? Martha. If you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know still that whatever you ask God, he will do it. And Jesus said, your brother will live. He said, and Martha said, I know he will live on the resurrection on the last day. And now, Jesus calls Mary, and she comes. She doesn't run like Martha. They have two different personalities. And she said the same thing, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, whatever you say will be done. You see, they both had faith in Jesus. That Jesus never went to a funeral. He only raised up dead people. We can think of three of the ones that he raised up. He never went to a funeral. He always raised up the dead. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm telling you it is better to sit in his presence in silence than to be crazily going here, there, and everywhere. I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing the works of God, but Jesus said this is the work of God, to believe in the one whom the Father sent. That's me, Jesus. You see, it's very, very important that we make time to sit in the presence of God, even if nothing seems to be happening. Today, I was before the tabernacle, and I just, you know, I didn't feel anything. But I was there, sitting before Jesus in the Eucharist, asking Jesus, you know, Lord, help me. I need your help. Martha and Mary are two different personalities. Martha is no slouch. She knew who Jesus was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you this. Do not run around like a chicken without a head. Make time for God. Make time to pray. Even if it's a short time, make time for God. Make time to pray. Make time to surrender and tell the Lord, take care of everything. Just take care of everything. It's the same thing as Jesus, I trust in you. Take care of everything. Here I am asking you to take care of everything. I have many burdens, and the Lord says, lay your burdens down. Take care of everything. That's what the Lord wants to do for you, to take care of everything. We start with the 11th chapter now of St. Luke. And it came to pass that as he was in a certain place praying, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we have also forgiven those who are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. That's the way Luke gives us the Our Father. I like the one from Matthew. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the plan of God, that the kingdom of God would come through the crucified, risen Lord on earth as it is in heaven. As I said about Vincent Ferrer, you know, he would preach about the last things. He would preach about heaven and hell, and then the sick would be healed. But he knew the power of God, that the kingdom should be coming on earth as it is in heaven. Thousands and thousands of people were healed in the ministry of St. Vincent Ferrer. Thousands and thousands and thousands. One day, the Lord told him, I want you to have a procession into the synagogue holding the cross. You know, this is sounds kind of crazy. But this is what he did. He had a procession into the synagogue holding the cross, and all the people in that synagogue were converted. All the people in that synagogue came to the Lord, came to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't he did what the Lord called him to do? And that's all we need to do the things that God calls us to do. We don't need to do extra things, just to do the things that God calls us to do. The Lord calls me to preach in the morning here, so I try to obey him, to preach the best way that I can, because this is what he's asking me to do, because he loves you. He wants you to know that you are his and he is yours, and that your eyes have seen greater things than the prophets, your ears have heard greater things than kings. He wants you to know that you are in his heart, that you are loved with a love beyond all words. He wants you to know that no matter what sin you may have committed, Jesus' blood is more powerful than the sin. He wants you to know there are no hopeless cases. You are not God's hopeless case. You might think that you are, but there are no hopeless cases. If there were hopeless cases, that means that person is stronger than God. No hopeless people in the world. They're all ready to come to Jesus Christ if that's what they want. But you see, they need a preacher to preach. They need a preacher to preach the word of God. How are they to hear unless there is a preacher? And how will the preacher know unless he is sent? You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How we need preachers like St. Vincent Ferrer. How we need preachers that love Jesus Christ. How we need preachers that know the power of the Holy Spirit. How we need preachers who will be Anoim enough, poor enough, to believe that God wants his kingdom to come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How we need those kind of preachers. People are hungry for the word of God. People are hungry for God's holy word. No one will be rejected, no matter how weak you are, no matter what sin you've committed, no one will be rejected. Jesus says, no one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but I should raise it up on the last day. Let me tell you, If you are experiencing a troubling time, even if you don't want to live, I'm telling you, Jesus wants you and he's got plans for you. I remember the story when I was a deacon, and as I was preaching, I saw it was the chapel downstairs, and it was in Salem. It was St. Teresa's Church that's gone now, but I remember I saw a priest alb hanging from a pipe. I did. That's what was happening. The priest alb was hanging from a pipe. And the Lord says to me, I want you to preach here because someone here is ready to commit suicide. So I changed my talk. I changed my, how much God loves you, how much God has plans for you, that you might not want to live, but he has plans for you, and that his plans are good, and you feel so insignificant, but in Jesus, you are everything. In Jesus, you can do anything. I preached and preached and preached and preached to that person. I didn't even know if that person was there, but he told me, someone here is about to commit suicide. You know what? She called me days later and said, I had the pills all set. I had them all set. And I said, God, if you don't speak to me tonight, I'm gone. I thank God that I heard him that night. I thank God that there was a priest's alb hanging from a pipe. I thank God that I was able to deliver the message to only one person, that she would have hope. Because I was talking to her. She didn't know that I knew anything. Only God told me somebody here, he didn't tell me who, is ready to commit suicide. And so I preached to it. You see, the preacher has this great opportunity to tell people things that can change their whole life, if we are open to God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come in us. Let your will be done in us. Lord, that we would hallow your name. Blessed be the name of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Blessed be the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus the Messiah, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered, died, and was buried. Oh, and on the third day he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus, who was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who gives witness to Jesus, the one who gives us the power of the gospel. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, one God, three divine persons. Blessed be the preacher who preaches the word of God. May that word go out like light in the darkness. May that word go out like light in the darkness. Raise up men and women that will preach the word of God, that people would know and understand that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about my vacation, unless on my vacation I had a theophany and God came to me. I'll never forget when I was in Nantucket the first year, I met the Fehrenbachs, and they still listen to me on radio, the Fehrenbachs. I never forget. They were reading the book that was a Christian book. So I said, it was on evangelism, if I remember. And I said, isn't that wonderful? And we sat together and we shared on the beach what God was doing. And you know what? I wanted to go on to another station. And the woman, Mrs. Fehrenbach, said, my friend works in St. Louis as the head of a Christian radio. That's how we got to St. Louis. That's how we started in St. Louis. Because I knew we needed another place because we didn't want to just save money. We needed to preach the gospel there. We still preach the gospel in St. Louis, not on that station. It used to be 15 minutes. Now it's a half an hour. And I thank God for the people who give from St. Louis. Let me just tell you this. You know, God is for you, and he's not against you. He who did not spare his own son, will he not give you all things beside? He who did not spare his own son, that's Jesus, will he not give you all things beside? So you're one of the Anawim. Well, join the rest of us. I'm one of the Anawim too. I am in complete need of Jesus Christ. No one else will do. I am in complete need of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, take care of everything, for I trust in you. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel. We need $10,000 to pay April's bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you know it's raining out. You need something to happen to your roof, even patched. 846-0076, 617-846-0076, 617-846-0076. You are one of the Anawim. Aren't you special? Because you need him 100%. Me too. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.